Welcome to another episode of Service Dog Success with me. I'm Victoria Warfel, and with me is
Sam Walker. How you doing? Hi, how are ya?
And she has a face mask on.
I'm purifying my skin. Gotta get all that nasty impurities from the air out.
Out of her skin. So she's blue right now. She looks a little smurfy.
Yeah.
And we have an important topic to discuss with you today, and that is, did you know that your dog needed to be a dog before he could be your service dog?
Yes, they must be. I see so many people having issues with their service dog, and what it comes down to is that they don't have a happy, healthy, balanced dog to begin with before they start trying to give him a job, right? So if we take it all the way back to high school psychology and Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which if you guys aren't familiar, it's a motivational theory in psychology comprising a five-tier model of human needs, often depicted as hierarchical levels within a pyramid. So it applies to dogs as well, though.
We actually learned about it. I didn't take high school psychology, but I did take Nipopo, and Bart talked about it every summer school.
Yeah, so it's a very, very important concept, right? You have to build from the bottom to work up, and so often people miss that the foundational skills their dog needs. Not even skills, but just the foundational structure and completeness that their dog needs to have before they start trying to build on top of it with all these tasks and public access training, and even some basic obedience training is hard when your dog is a nervous wreck or physically not well. To take it back to our...
Structurally not well?
Yes, structurally not well. To take it back to our cultivating confidence workshop that we did in January 2023, the pillars of competency, physical, emotional, intellectual, they all three have to be strong before you can build on top of. And if not, if even one is weak, if there's cracks in it, the structure that is your dog will fall apart.
Yep.
Matter of time.
Yep.
So, do you have any guesses on what the bottom tier of Maslow's hierarchy is?
No.
Physiological needs.
Oh.
So the actual physical needs of your dog, are they structurally sound? Do they have good gut health? Can they see well? Can they hear well? How are they feeling, literally, physically feeling? That's the base level. If that is not good,
you're screwed.
Yeah, you're screwed. You can't move on.
Yeah, and you know what? We were talking about that in the puppy family group. So we have a Facebook group for our puppy families, people who have hope dogs and people who are on the waiting list. And somebody had brought up that their dog was having some allergy stuff, which would affect the physical part of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we could do about that, and a lot of times those are environmental. So we mentioned about, you know, if your dog's struggling with something like that, you have to look at what laundry detergent you're using. What are you using? A fabric softener?
Are you pouring those scented sprinkles all over your carpet that you're then supposed to vacuum up? But we all know the vacuum doesn't suck up all the sprinkles,
right? Or the scent beads. Yes. I never bought the Downy scent beads. I never understood it, but yay for that.
I mean, I like them, but I get why you can't use them. Bad for the environment, bad for your dog.
Right? Plugins. I love Bath & Body Works, and I've got plugins, but I don't have them in my bedroom because I can't breathe whenever they're plugged in. And if that's the case, can dogs breathe?
Yeah, and if that's the case for you, someone who's, 5 feet above where these plugins are located, down near the ground, usually is where our outlets are, when your dogs are right there, nose level with them, how strongly is it affecting them?
Yep.
Things to think about.
Yeah. A whole other podcast.
Yep. So basic needs need to be met. Air, water, food, shelter, sleep, things like that. That's the physiological needs need to be met before we can move on to, what do you think the second level is?
Party time and video games.
Safety needs, personal security, resources, health, property, things like that. For people, but obviously your dog doesn't have much property.
Well, no. So how could it be for dogs? Like having a place to call theirs, like a crate.
Uh-huh.
Having a bed, a dog bed. Having a room that they feel safe in, that when they're in there, the little kids don't come in and, poke them in the eyeballs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all good. So that's the second tier, safety needs. Your dog has to feel safe in their space, in your home.
And not stressed. If they go outside and every time they go outside, the neighbor dogs, bound the fence and bark at them, and they don't feel comfortable even going outside because of things. Or maybe there's a lot of yelling in the home and, You know, all that stuff can play into it for dogs.
And a lot of times we'll see evidence of this before we can actually pinpoint what it is, right? We just notice that our dog is a little off, or they seem a little extra jumpy or nervous. And that's, you got to notice there's a problem before you can address the problem. So take notice if your dog does seem unsure, uncomfortable, unwell, and yep, find out what the causes are.
I like it.
The third tier of Maslow's hierarchy, love and belonging. Oh, that's sweet. So friendships, intimacy, family, and a sense of connection.
That is so huge.
Right? Don't we all need it?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally think so. Like, you need to, and you know, you talk, I used to talk to trainers and they'd say like, oh, I don't like this dog, or I don't like dogs, but it pays good money. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing in this job then?
Yeah, you have to wonder, aren't they miserable? Because like, where do you find connection in your life if you spend, you know, 7 days, especially when you work with animals, it's all day, every day. If that much of your life is dominated by something you don't feel a connection with.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, and the dogs know. They know whenever they're resented. They know when they're loved.
Mm-hmm. So, and before you start thinking, oh, they're saying that my dog has to have, you know, a loving relationship with just me and no one else. No, they should have other friendships as well, right? So it can't be that your dog is only connected to you. It has to be that they have their own fulfilling relationships, right? Not just that you are. I mean, for some people, maybe that's all you can be, is just you and your dog, and you live alone in Antarctica, just the two of you, but...
Oh, but they still have penguins and polar bears in Antarctica that they could be friends with. I've seen 8 Below, too. There's other dogs, if you look.
There's other dogs, if you... 8 Below, was that with the Huskies?
Yes, that was terrible.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah, if you leave halfway through and you miss where they stranded down below and they had to live on their own.
Oh, that was the below.
It wasn't Snow Dogs. Snow Dogs is cute.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely thinking Snow Dogs. The movie you're talking about sounds dark.
Yes. It was terrible.
All right. So Snow Dogs, join us for our next, like, IMBD podcast where we rate dog
right?
movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snow Dogs hit, 8 Below, miss.
Yeah. This sucks. Ants, same thing.
Ants.
Bug's Life, no. You know why? It's because Bug's Life, I was substitute teaching, and I was doing an art class for like a week. So you know what we watched every day, every class for this whole week was parts of Bug's Life. And the kids were supposed to draw, you know, the critters from Bug's Life.
Ew.
It was hell. Like, I don't mind the movie, but like, that was
being
just flooding.
To watch it in pieces over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh my God, how about we just watch the whole thing today and then we'll move it a half hour ahead and watch the whole thing tomorrow. They'll eventually get all of it. It just won't be in the right order, but it'll work for me. But no, we couldn't do that.
All right, so your dog has to have a sense of love and belonging. Mm-hmm. The next one, esteem. Respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, and this is a big one, people, freedom. Freedom. Oh my God. So many people keep their dogs on a literal and, what's the opposite of literal?
I don't know.
Figurative.
Yeah, there you go.
A literal and figurative tight leash.
Right.
Give that puppy some freedom.
And don't make him look at you all the time.
Oh, yes, right. Focus, focus, focus.
Look at me.
Focus.
Look at me.
No.
No, you can't do that. The dog needs some freedom, and the dog does know. I know our dogs know that they have important jobs to do and that they're special.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully your dog knows that they're special, too, because, you know, like, every dog is special.
And they need to feel respected, right? That they can set their own boundaries, and then that plays into the safety. Like, all these things are connected in this sort of linear order of one builds right into the next.
Yeah, interwoven and twined.
I guess that's what makes it a hierarchy, right? I'm being a bit redundant.
That's okay.
All right, and then our last one, self-actualization, desire to become the most that one can be. That's the very top of this pyramid of hierarchy of needs, and that is where your dog becomes a service dog. Once these bottom four tiers have been filled all the way to the tippy top, then you can put them on their self-actualized journey of service dog work.
Because you can't take a dog who is nervous, fearful, uncertain, you know, not clear on things and say, okay, you're a service dog now. No, you have a nervous, neurotic wreck. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Or who's to even say that they want to, like, they want to find that self-actualization. They don't want a job if what they want to do is go hide under the couch.
Right?
Or have some freedom to explore. Yeah, or if they have not had their freedom met, like you said, What makes you think they're going to want to stay next to you when you go out to Publix or a restaurant or something like that? If they they haven't even been able to go sniff a tree or a bush in your yard.
Right. Oh, and that brings us sniff walks. I've had people ask me, does your dog go on a sniff walk? I'm like, what's a what? Like, when the dog's on a leash, we're on a walk together. We're on a walk together. We're not going to have some walks where he pulls me all over the place, but we can be on a 20-foot leash or a 10-foot leash, or we could be off-leash in a secure fence neighborhood and go and explore scents that the dog wants to do.
Yep, and do it with them. So I love the idea of a sniff walk. I don't love most people's definition or what it actually looks like.
Yes.
For me, a sniff walk can be done on a 6-foot leash, but I teach really strict loose-leash walking, but I also pay very close attention to my dog's desires and the communication that they're showing me. Right? So if they're looking at me like, or if I see them look towards a bush or something that I know probably has little critters that have been under there, or a mailbox post that I can see the piss stains on, I'm like, all right, they definitely want to go over there, check that out. And I'm going to seem like a real dummy if I don't, like, if I'm not appearing to smell this from 30 feet away like they do, or they smelled it from 2 blocks away.
Right.
So I will literally mark things with my dog. Not like pee on them, but I'll go up, she'll sniff it, I will rub my foot against it, and we will walk on. So the sole of my shoe, I just drag it down or across whatever it is that had her interest that was likely.
Pee shoe.
Yeah, pee shoe. Well, don't lick my shoe then, Vicky.
Damn it.
I know. Careful, I won't put my shoe in your face, I promise. Okay. Or on your bed.
Okay.
But... yeah, so that's how I do my sniff walks. We have a very nice, it's not just her dragging me around sniffing everything she wants to sniff. It's us going together and checking these things out. And I do very much try to put myself in her shoes and say, what on this walk is she going to enjoy? And find a way that I can enjoy it with her. And that's our sniff walk. And I think you all should be doing that, honestly, at least to the degree that you can.
Well, thank you. Do it whenever you're with your friends or when you're going out on a date with somebody, something that you might not be interested in. You'll go because they want to do it.
Yeah, because that's the right thing to do. So you're doing the same thing
by building, how do you build a relationship? By doing that, by going and enjoying each other, each other's company, no matter what it is that you're doing. And you're doing that with your dog now too, building that relationship.
Right. And I asked way more of my service dog than I ever did of like my casual friends. So I should be willing to do more for her than I am for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, totally. I think that's a great analogy. Hopefully it'll help people to understand what's going on.
So I challenge you all.
Challenge.
Yep. Look at your dog, whether they be a service dog or a pet dog. You can find Maslow's hierarchy.
Google it.
Yeah, Google it. Right there. And try and pick out the parts of this hierarchy, and you'll probably notice where you have weaknesses up closer to the top, or they will be magnifications of the slight weaknesses you had lower down. So if you have a little bit of a breakdown in your physiological needs, like maybe just a slight, you know, pinch on a nerve, or yeasty paws or something that makes them uncomfortable...
timer.
Then maybe you notice it translates into a larger crack in that that little pillar of safety, because now your dog is feeling unsafe because they are unwell. So they go out into the world, and maybe that yeasty pog, they step on a rock wrong, and now, ouch! Oh my God, that hurts. Like, I was sore, and now I'm really ouch.
Yeah.
And now I'm scared of, you know, whatever it is out here. Or maybe they move differently than a normal dog because of something going on in their physiological structure.
Because they're trying to compensate for it.
Yeah, they get into the proximity of another dog who takes that deviation from the norm in your dog's movements as some kind of threat or aggression signal. And now your dog is being pounced upon by another, all because of something physiological that was wrong. So you had a small physiological tweak that led to a big safety crack.
Yeah, and potentially a crumble of your service dog.
Yep. So I challenge you all, look up Maslow's hierarchy of needs and see if your dog is fulfilled in all of them. And if they're not, then
find out how you can fix that. And if you don't know, schedule a session with Sam.
Yeah, make a plan. We can make a plan together. Because I want what's best for you. And if you are a service dog user, then that translates into what's best for your service dog.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't ask the world of your service dog without giving the world back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not that just because you get to take the dog to Disney, he should enjoy that. That's your fun. So what are you going to do that the dog finds enjoy? Are you going to go sniff around in the backyard? One of the things that we did was we took a whole bunch of Kongs, because I have a box of Kongs, and we put smelly toys in them, and we hid other toys, and we hid them all around the yard, and we went on an explore hunt with the dogs. We called it our treasure hunt or our Easter egg hunt.
Yep. You find things together, right? And maybe you find some, because, I mean, you hid them there, obviously, but they don't have to know that. Maybe you find some first and then share it with the dog, and you guys celebrate together, and you let the dog find some first, and you share them and celebrate together.
Yep. And then that's what the dog enjoys. You know, you don't have to go to the dog park, run around on all fours, and lift your leg up on things to pee, to do something that your dog enjoys. But yeah,
find things that are good for them, and then translate them into ways that you can share it together.
Yeah. You know what we did yesterday? James and I went and we took the boys and got their hips and elbows done for their finals. And on the way home, we stopped at Starbucks because I needed some caffeine. And we got the boys pup cups.
I saw that. Those pictures were so cute.
Right? They enjoyed it. Oh. And I enjoyed it. And Bert really enjoyed it. And salted it all.
Yeah, what's not to love about getting to eat a cup full of whipped cream? Right. I always feel like an asshole when they give me a pup cup because I really have to resist the urge to just lick it first before I give it to them.
Go through drive-thru and tell them you have two dogs when you only just have one.
Okay, but what do I do when I have six?
Tell them you have seven.
Vicky has all the answers.
I do. But anything else you want to add?
I wanted to touch on just a moment. For those of you who have specifically bred dogs for...
Yes.
What did you call it? A genetic...
Drift.
Yes. A genetic drift to your dog. So, dogs like Border Collies, German Shepherds, cattle dogs, Kelpies. What do all those have in common?
They like to bite things.
Yeah, they're members of the herding group.
Yeah, they are.
Right? They're herding group. So, in order for them to be fully fulfilled, it's very likely that we're going to have to get them an outlet to express, for that gene to express itself.
Yeah, you know, we had a Border Collie. His name is Rue. And we lived in town in a condo. When we moved out here, we've got 5 acres. About maybe 6 months after we lived here, we got our first couple goats.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw them, Sam, it was like a light bulb went off over his head and something clicked inside of him and he knew exactly what to do. And he did his little happy tap dance and he herded them up and he was just so proud of himself because guess what? He was genetically fulfilled.
Yes. Yes, he had a predisposition to want those things. That was his deepest desire.
Right, but how many people get a Border Collie because they're snazzy looking like they're wearing little tuxedos and they're in black
and
white?
So smart. They're so smart. Trainable.
I want a smart dog. No, you don't. Most people need a dog as dumb as a box of rocks. You know, they'd be happier that way.
And for those of you with mixed breeds, it might be helpful to get that DNA test.
Yeah.
Check that embark out.
Yeah, so you know what it is. You know how many times when I talk to people, and especially before the breeding program, you know, now that we breed Goldens, most people I talk to know that, and they want a Golden, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes it a lot easier, but I still talk, and people want, you know, I want a Great Dane as a service dog, because I need a big dog for mobility. You know, a Great Dane's a guardian bred dog. Like, they usually don't like people coming up to them, you know, strangers and all, and they might be a little barky out in public because of that, because, you know, like stranger danger stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they have health issues and they have lifespan issues. And most people want them for mobility, but they're so big for that, you know, and they're travel, but it comes a lot to they're a guardian bred dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? All those things that you think you want them for the size and
the drooling.
Well, anyway. That's also things that make them great at being guardians. So you kind of have to take both edges of the sword. If you want them because they're large, so you want them for mobility, you also need to be aware that that's a guardian breed and you are going to have to deal with some of these other behaviors possibly showing their ugly head that you didn't want or that don't serve your purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. Malinois like to bite. They are herding dogs. They're also guard dogs.
Yep.
Doberman and Rottweilers are guard dogs. the, there was another one. Great Pyrenees, for some reason, had hit like a popular point a couple years ago, and everyone had a Great Pyrenees or Great Pyrenees mix as a service dog. I think because they're big and they look like big fluffy white Goldens. Just like 100 pounds heavier.
I can't think of a... That's such a different personality than a Golden.
Right? Oh my gosh, totally. And what do they want to do? They want to be alone with their goats and their herd out in the wilderness, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, they don't want to go everywhere with you all the time. They want to be outside with their pack.
When we go up in the Bighorns, we see at least one. Every year, we see at least one Great Pyrenees out in the middle of freaking nowhere just with a herd of cattle.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Just following them around. I mean, the Bighorns. Like, people don't live up there.
But so, they do.
They do, yeah. Or you'll come across, like, you'll come across bags of dog food just dumped out by a two-track, and you'll go, oh, okay, there's a pier in the air, in the area.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what the ranch hands will do. They'll drive out there and go, okay, I see cattle over there, dump dog food right here. Dog will come around eventually.
I understand ranch hands because I've seen Yellowstone.
Oh. Is Ashton Kutcher still in that?
I don't think he was in that one. I don't remember him.
What was he in? Oh, The Ranch. That's the one Ashton Kutcher was in.
Is that the one with the UFOs where they go, like...
I don't know. I never saw it.
I tried watching it once because I thought it was Yellowstone when I was first, you know, wanting to watch it. Because Sam spends time in Wyoming, so that was my cultural experience, was watching Yellowstone.
It made you feel connected to me when I was far away.
I did, yeah. But I didn't like the one where there was, like, a hole and they, like, went in a different time-space continuum. It was weird.
Oh, that actually makes me more interested in The Ranch. But
yeah, but it wasn't...
I just follow Ashton on Instagram. That's it. Oh. I'm not a Westerns fan. I just love Ashton Kutcher.
Okay. Was it That 70s Show or Two and a Half Men?
It was That 70s Show.
Ah.
Yeah, I didn't see him on Two and a Half Men. I didn't want to see him that way.
He wasn't the half man.
Oh my god.
So you've got to fulfill. So what do we do with golden retrievers? What is their want, right? What is their need? What do they genetically gonna drift to? Is retrieving. Retrievers gotta be retrieving.
Yeah, don't stop retrieving. They don't. And that's lovely for what we're training so many of the tasks is go get me this, bring me that, pick up that.
Yep, I drop that.
Uh-huh.
And to exercise them, guess what we do? Chuck it outside and chuck that thing as far as how much chuck would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? They can go pretty far with a whole bunch of dogs. So they get that every day. We'll take them outside and they'll get to play every day with the chuck it. They'll get to do their task stuff. They'll get to play fetch because I don't play in the house like that. We'll play in the office when they're puppies, but we're not chucking the chuck it down the hall,
no.
You know, in the house here. So they know inside is for calm, outside is for crazy play. But if I drop something in the house, like pick it up and hand it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny too, because, you know, Flounder and Sorka are no longer in the running as service dogs because they're, you know, as potential breeding mamas. But they'll still want to pick up stuff and give it to me because that genetic component of it.
Mm-hmm. And the more fulfilled at their core they can be, the easier of a time you're going to have convincing them to do more on top of that, right? But if they have this deep driving desire to go herd or retrieve or guard or scent hunt or track, and you're trying to tell them, no, don't do that, do this instead, it's just not going to happen because their mind is always going to be on, no, I should be doing the other.
And if you're thinking, well, you know what? I want a dog who will herd my kid back to me because my kid elopes and runs off. No. Do you really want that kid being nipped? Don't do that. Stop it.
That's a whole nother podcast, too.
Right? It totally is.
All right. Well, I think it's about time for me to wipe this face mask off. Moral of the story, know the dog you have. Know their hierarchy of needs. Make sure all those needs are met. And then keep on keeping on, friends. Then you can work yourself a service dog.
Right? And service dogs are awesome.
Yep. You know, they make the world go around, at least for
people with disabilities, they do.
That's right.
Okay, so where can they find you, Sam?
Oh, they can find me gooddog307 on Instagram. sam@hopeservicedogs.org is my email address. And
what's your TikTok name?
Oh, Sam the Dog Trainer is me on TikTok.
Nice.
And I do love the TikTokies. Oh my gosh. It took me a while to get sucked in, but man, am I deep now.
Right?
I'm invested.
right? Yeah, you know, I was trying Threads, and I'm not wild about Threads. I don't see a lot of people posting on it. It's kind of boring, so I don't post on Threads that much.
I've been trying to do the Reels on Instagram. I've been making more Reels, and that's been fun.
Nice. Okay.
I've been finding myself watching more Reels. Like, they're getting me.
Okay. I just repurposed my TikTok. So we have TikTok. It's Pot Service Dog. Instagram and Facebook is Hope Service Dogs or Hope Service Dogs Inc. You know, like, look it up. You'll find us somewhere.
Yeah, you're everywhere.
I am. And then we're, of course, here with you guys. We aim for weekly, and it's been about a week and a half, and that is because we have had our six-month-old puppies going home. And that always is super busy time.
How many go-homes did we do? Had two.
Three so far. We have one more coming up. And then you also had Zelda, but that wasn't a six-month.
No, she was a five-week. She was a five-weeker from Hope Service Dogs. She was a puppy that had gone home and then came back later.
Yeah. Yeah, I had four. I still have one here. So I had three go home. You had two. So I guess that's five.
Uh-huh.
And then six if you count Zelda.
Yeah. Busy, busies.
Yeah, we have been.
And we had the service dog meetup.
Yes, we did. We did a service dog meetup. We're doing those monthly, so I have to look and schedule up September's, you know, at least walk the day.
Yeah, so make sure you're following Vicky on Instagram and or Facebook if you want to be in the know about when and where those service dog meetups are going to be. And they are open to anybody with a service dog or a service dog in training.
Yeah, even if you didn't get the dog from us, even if you've never trained with us before, they're still open to you guys. It's one of our community mission awesome things to do to raise awareness and to help people, because Hope, I told you guys before, Hope Service Dogs and BFFs is going to be the new name.
Yeah, we're just all trying to connect. We want to meet you, we want to greet you, we want to hang out with you.
Yeah And one of the pups who was there, you know, they got some advice from us on leash stuff, and she said it has made such a huge difference. So sometimes it's the little things that make huge differences.
And she was a cute little golden retriever, not one of ours, but she was a cute little golden,
right? So that's it for today, and we will catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.